Okay, Mr. Schneider, can you tell me something about your background?
My personal background?
Yes, when and where you were born.
I was born in the city of New York, and then in 1907, during the panic of 1907, my father lost his business because they went bankrupt there in New York City. So he had a brother in Duluth, and he encouraged him to come out here. So he came out to Superior, and the following year we came here. And there were five of us in the family at the time. There was two boys and three girls, and and my youngest brother was born in Superior in 1909.
Mm-hmm.
And he, up to recently, was dean of the School of Business at Western Michigan University. As a matter of fact, he built that school, and it's quite a well-developed school by now, but of course, when he reached his 65th birthday, he had to retire, and he's one of the professors now. He'd be working there until he's 70, but he's at Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Oh, he is. And how many other brothers and sisters do you have?
I have three sisters. I had originally had three sisters and two brothers.
They all grew up in Superior?
Yes. And the one of my sisters is deceased, the oldest one, and my next brother is also passed away.
Are you the oldest?
I'm the oldest in the family. That is, I'm the second oldest in the family.
Mm-hmm. What are your, now were you in school when you, do you remember when you arrived in Superior?
Sure.
Uh-huh. About how old were you then?
About 14.
Uh-huh. Did you have to go to work right away?
Well, I went to school and worked, yes, at the same time.
Do you recall anything about the Jewish community as opposed to New York? Now, you've come from New York, which is a big center for Jews,
mm-hmm.
and here you came to Superior, and I'm sure there weren't too many Jewish people here. So what did you think?
Well, there were the in New York, you know, we lived in a community that was quite heavily Jewish. And here, the community was scattered around, but the Jewish people were forced to live together because of the anti-Jewish feeling, anti-Semitic feeling. And at that time, you know, the Jew was not regarded as a common thing. And it was shimi and kike and all that stuff, you know.
By the people in Superior?
Yes.
Well, which were these, German people or Scandinavians or just the people
Scandinavian, and mostly Scandinavian here.
Mm-hmm. Did you find after you were here for a while that the Jews got along better?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Why do you think the Gentile community didn't, were uncomfortable about the Jews living here?
Well, they had a right to be. In the first place, when the Jewish people came here, the older folks had no source of income, and they had no trades. They had to go out as peddlers or hawkers of some kind, and then they were uneducated, and they weren't the type that they are today.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they drive down the street, you know, one of the old Jews was selling fish or picking up iron or stuff like that, and the kids would throw rocks at them, and call them names, and what are they going to do?
Did you think that your father was going to leave because of that? What did your father do?
Well, in New York, he was running the factory. When he came over here, he had a he bought a horse, and he got a fruit route. Mm-hmm. He went to the wholesale house, and he bought fruit early in the morning, and then he went out and peddled it during the day.
Was that the same business his brother was in Duluth? Because his brother had encouraged him, you said, to come out?
No, his brother, I don't know what he did. He worked for somebody over there. No, he wasn't in that business. He was employed as a laborer. Mm-hmm. I think he was a tailor or something like that.
What? Did any of your other family come out here? On your mother's side, perhaps?
No, my mother's side, none of them came out here. They were all in New York, and some of them went to Chicago, but most of them stayed in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Her, one of my mother's nephews was this, her sister's son was a Werblin. Did you ever hear of Sonny Werblin in New York?
I think so. Sounds familiar.
He used to be with the Music Corporation of America.
Mm.
And then he's the one that they thought was crazy because he paid $400,000 for this football player. What the heck's his name with the gimpy legs?
Wasn't it? Joe Namath?
Yes. He bought Joe Namath for the New York. And they thought he was crazy because he paid $400,000, and that was one of the best deals he ever made.
It sure was. Do you remember?
And see, he's a cousin of ours.
Oh, he's a cousin of yours. Now, getting back to Superior, when you arrived here, you were 14 years old, do you recall, you said there was a Jewish area that the people lived in. So where was that located? Where did you live when you arrived?
We lived right down on John and Ewart Avenue, down below on the other side of the tracks, north of here, about six blocks north of here.
Mm-hmm. And where did you go to synagogue?
The synagogue was on Sixth Street and Hammond Avenue. That was torn down.
What synagogue was that? What was it called?
Well, the Superior Brotherhood.
Okay, that was a Superior. Because I have a lot of different names. Did you know about anything called a Hebrew church here?
No, there only was two synagogues here. That's the Orthodox. They were both Orthodox, but later on I was off and on president of our congregation, and we decided to hire a rabbi, and we hired a rabbi by the name of Gold, Aaron Gold.
About what year did you hire him?
Oh gosh. Do you remember what year that would be? I don't know. Way back.
Was it after the First World War?
Oh, sure. It's always after the First World War.
Do you remember there being a rabbi for your congregation?
Hmm?
Do you remember, was there a rabbi when you first got here?
Yes, it was a sort of a, Katz. He was,
yeah.
He couldn't speak any English. He was very, he was sort of like a combination shamus and rabbi.
His name was Katz?
Katz, yeah.
So what were the names of the synagogues, the two synagogues that you had?
Well, ours was the Superior Hebrew Congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still that. Except now they have this temple that they... See, they built this temple up here and went over there, and they sold that building. And it was torn down. And the other one is the... what's the name of the other one? Hebrew
Brotherhood.
Hebrew Brotherhood, yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you remember someone at the other I believe this is the superior synagogue named David Siegel, H. David Siegel. Was he the reader or something about 1912?
Not H. David Siegel. There was two Siegels. There was Aaron Siegel and Ellis Siegel.
Ellis Siegel.
Mm-hmm. They too came over here and they were out peddling with packs, and then they decided to open a store.
Oh, what did they call the store?
Siegel Brothers.
Siegel Brothers. Do you remember any other Siegels involved in business here?
Oh, sure. There was a, what's the name of that Siegel that had that other store?
How about Conan Siegel? Do you have a recollection of that?
Lasky's.
Huh?
Lasky's.
Well, it was Lasky's. By the way, one of the Lasky's boys is a very successful physician in New York City.
Oh, he is.
Norman Lasky.
And what kind of business were you in?
I started in as a secretary. I was, after I graduated school, I got a job as secretary to the superintendent of the Sioux Line at $50 a month, and we traveled around on a private car with a porter and a cook. And then I wanted to get a raise. He wouldn't give me a raise, so I quit and went over to the Great Northern. I got $60 a month.
It's a big raise.
And
were you married then?
No.
This was
in 19. I graduated in 1914. And this was about 1916.
I assume you didn't have to. Did you go into the Army?
Yes, I enlisted in the Army.
There were a number of boys from this Jewish community that were given special medals of honor. Can you tell me something about that during World War I? Is that true?
Well, I don't know of any that were.
I'd read something about it. Well, nevertheless, I wanted to ask you some things about when you were younger in Superior.
I got into the Army and I was appointed acting corporal. Mm-hmm. And there was some Swede there, he and I interchanged acting corporal. And I was at Camp Grant. It was this time of the year we had to get up at 6 o'clock, and they send in a bunch of recruits, and this fellow that exchanged with me asked me, what church do you go to? I said, I go to the synagogue, I'm Jewish. Oh, then he started ribbing me, and I thought, well, okay, we'll see what happens. Well, anyway, to make a long story monotonous, we lined up one morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. They used to call us 6 o'clock, and we had a report to the top sergeant. And he said, oh, attention, squads report. And they started to report. And these recruits didn't know where they belonged. It was dark. So instead of being four and four, you know, a squad, there was five in our squad. It was 10, see? So this Swede says to me, you better get back. He says, there's too many in the squad. I said, why don't you just report? I said, and forget about that. So he says, get back, I tell you. I said, I'm covered off. I got no place to go back. See, there was somebody backing me in the second line. So he reached out and put his hand on my chest and gave me a shove. And the minute he did that, I turned on my heel and led with my left and sucked him right on the jaw with my right, and down he went. I'd been sore at him because he'd made cracks about Jews anyway. So the top sergeant blew the whistle, and we both got carted off to the guardhouse. And And so at that time, they didn't have telephones, but I was instrumental in sending a wire to my former boss here at the Great Northern, Sesser, and he sent back a telegram to the captain of our company and said that I was a very good secretary and very good character and so on. And when the captain saw that I was a secretary, he said, well, I've been looking for somebody like that. He said, so, well, as a result, I got out of it, and he put me in charge of the orderly office, put me in the orderly office, and then a month or two later, he put me in charge of the office. And he promoted me to corporal, and promoted me to sergeant first class, and eventually, he offered me a job when I got out of the Army to work for him in Duluth. He was from Duluth, mining engineer.
Did you take the job?
Sure. Well, of course, I could have gone back to the Great Northern, but he paid me pretty near 1.5 to 2 times as much as I got there. I had a job in the 20s where I was getting $500 a month.
That's quite good. What did you do getting $500 a month? That was as an engineer?
Well, I was, he was in mining and in the stock market, but I was accountant and secretary. You know, I was expert as a secretary, and also I did a lot of accounting studying.
That's very interesting. Did you, when you were going to school here, before you went to the Army and started working, when you first got here, the early years, did you have some Jewish friends?
A few, not very many.
Who were they?
Well, there was Philip Holzberg, and there was Joe Wiener, Joseph B. Wiener, mm-hmm. And by the way, this Joseph B. Wiener is, he was assistant superintendent of schools in Duluth for many years till he retired, and he went to school here. Mm-hmm. And then there was a lot of Kaners and Cairns.
Were any of these people in prominent in business, or who were the prominent Jews in Superior?
The Siegels.
Siegels? They had been here for many years?
Siegels and Lasky's, and some of the Teiches, and some of the, and Sassner, and
what made them prominent in the Jewish community?
Well,
their money, or?
This, what the heck was the name of that Joe at the grocery store? What's his name?
Ansel.
Ansel's. A-N-S-E-L-L. Ansel. Joe Ansel. He was quite active here. Mm-hmm. But he's dead now. So was his brother.
Did you get any Jewish education in Superior as a young boy?
No. I got it in New York City.
Mm-hmm. Was your father, when you first got to Superior, or your father had been here for a while, you said, a year?
No, just about a year. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Was he already a member of the synagogue? Mm-hmm. Was your family Orthodox?
Well, we went to the Orthodox congregation, see, but eventually, during the time I was president, we switched over and we took the women off the shelf and put them downstairs.
What year was that?
Oh, I don't know. It must have been around when Rabbi Gold was here. And that was about 1920, something like that.
What sort of Jewish organizations were there here in your early days when you first got
well,
here?
Well, there was the B'nai B'rith and when did
the B'nai B'rith start? Do you happen to know what year?
Oh, the B'nai B'rith started about 50 some years ago. Mm-hmm. About 50, maybe 55 years ago. Because mm-hmm. A couple of years ago, I had been a member for over 50 years.
Mm-hmm. How about, there was another Jewish organization, the Order of B'rith Abraham, or B'rith Abraham?
Yes.
Were you a member of that?
No.
Do you know anything about it?
Well, it was a kind of a semi, labor organization, see? Mm-hmm. I didn't belong to that. My father belonged to it.
Oh, your father did. Now, you said your father was, sold fruits and vegetables?
Mm-hmm.
What did he do after that? Did he open a store?
Yes. After that, he opened a grocery store.
Oh, he did. And where was that located?
That was on 6th and Ogden.
Very interesting. Do you remember, you said your family was sort of religious. Did your family keep kosher?
Well, my mother did.
Did she buy kosher meat for the family?
Huh? Yes.
Where'd she get the meat?
Well, at that time there were three, four butchers in town here.
Really?
Goldberg and Arnovich and
Bergstein.
And Bergstein, they right in town. But now there are none. There's just one in Duluth, and it shares.
Mm-hmm. So what were the butchers? There was Goldberg, you said, Bergstein?
Goldberg, Bergstein, and...
Sam Kaner.
Kaner's.
Was there a shochet in town?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. And what happened when... did you have Jewish, were there weddings and bris?
Oh, sure.
Any of these events that you recall, was there ever, I imagine you two were married here. I think maybe I'll ask Mrs. Schneider about that when I talk to her. But do you remember, was there a special hall where Jewish people got married, or was it always in the synagogue?
No, they got married in a special hall. And of course they used to have the wedding in the synagogue, see?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd have a special hall where they'd have the dinner.
Mm-hmm. And it was all
dance.
Usually kosher
meal. Oh, yes. My wife still keeps kosher.
That's fantastic.
Because she's got a sister that won't let her do otherwise. Her sister's away, otherwise I could sell her to you cheap.
You reminded me of something else. Do you remember when you got to... What I really want to get is some statistics about the community. You recall how many Jews lived here when you... Around 1907, 1910.
Well, when we got here, there must have been about... I imagine there were about 300 families. There were quite a few.
Oh, really? In about 1907?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? Why did they start leaving?
Well, most of them, when their children grew up, they left town because there was no business here. For instance, I mentioned the Laskys. They had a store on Tower Avenue, and they had two sons. And one became a doctor, and the other one went into the merchandising business. They both left town, and the folks stayed here until they died. So that's the end of the Lasky family. You take the Siegel family. Well, the only one of the Siegels that was left here is David. Mm-hmm. All the others, they're in Chicago and Washington. And then the Scher family, I didn't give you that. That's one of the old families, S-H-E-R, Scher family. Bob Scher was an attorney, and he went to Washington, and he's a very prominent attorney there in Washington. You take the Siegels, the only one left there You take her family, the Vogels. Both her brothers are doctors in Buffalo, and a sister married a banker in Rochester, and the other sister is in Cincinnati, married to a chemist, and the only one that she's here, and her sister lives here. The sister's husband is dead, been dead many years.
Why do you think people left Superior? Was it because there weren't enough Jewish people, you know?
No, it's a question. It wasn't anything to do with the Jewish. It was just that there were no opportunities here. This city originally was about three times as large as it is now. Mm-hmm. And that was dependent on coal and ore and lumber and the shipping of that. Now the shipping of coal at that time was a tremendous traffic, because the ships used to come in loaded with coal and they would unload them on the docks here. They've torn a lot of the docks down, but the city was surrounded with coal docks, and this coal was used in all manufacturing and in every house. As a matter of fact, we had coal in this house too. And it was transferred to cars and shipped all over the Northwest and all around here, see? Well, when the gas has come in and the oil, they did away with these coal docks, and that took care of hundreds of people that worked here. And the lumber industry sort of died out entirely. And and the ore industry, they built that up so that it's taconite, and they loaded into cars, and they dumped these cars now directly into boats.
Yeah.
Instead of, they used to have several docks. The Soo Line had a dock, and the Great Northern had a dock, and the Northern Pacific had a dock, and Northwestern had a dock. Now the only dock that's left is the Great Northern.
Mm-hmm.
And they load them right in there.
About what time did people start leaving? You know, you said there were about 300 families here when you got here, 300 Jewish families. And when did you start feeling that the Jewish community was diminishing instead of growing?
Well, it's right around, right after we came here, they started, as the children grew up and became old enough to go to college. And for instance, her brothers, when they got to be, when they graduated high school, they went to Wisconsin and to Illinois and so on, and they never came back here, see? And same way with our children, see, our children, when they finished high school, one of them went to Minnesota and the other went to Wisconsin. And when they finished school, they got jobs in Minneapolis or wherever, and her brothers became doctors, and they were down in Buffalo. And so this is just and like I told you about the Siegels and the Laskys, as these children grew up, they just left, and all they left was the old folks here, and the old folks, as they died off, there was nothing left here.
Mm-hmm. Were you, of course, when you got here, must have been a lot of people your own age, though. In 1907, when you came here,
yeah,
I imagine there were people here your own age. Or 1908,
sure,
you said.
Sure.
You Did you have a desire to leave?
Well, I didn't particularly have a desire.
We'll have to repeat that question again. Did you have a desire to leave here when you saw that others were leaving?
Well, partially, but my mother and the sister and family wanted me to stay because I was the oldest boy in the family and I was supporting the family. At that time, as I say, I had a job as for the railroad. It was a pretty good job. And so in deference to their wishes, I stayed on and didn't leave. And then, of course, as I say, during World War I came along, I enlisted and I served overseas till I got out in 1919. And then I worked for this fellow Dudley. He was kind of hard to work for, but then he was very generous. At times he would give me bonuses of $10,000 or a year or $5,000.
That was the captain?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's quite a generous man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said something very interesting before. You said, you know, when you first got here, people, you know, you thought they were anti-Semitic. Had you encountered that type of anti-Semitism in New York, or was it something very new you found in Superior, or unique to Superior?
That was prevalent in New York City too. As a matter of fact, I remember as a little kid in New York, these Irish and Italians, you know, I wasn't very big, and they'd make life miserable. I used to sneak through the alleys and behind the buildings. And one time they picked on my brother. I had a brother that was a couple of years younger than me, and they picked on him, and I thought, well, that's the end of it. So I went in there with my feet and knees and tearing and fighting, and I learned to handle myself. And after that, whenever they started up, I went right after them, and that took care of them. But you had to fight your way through all the way. When we came out here, it was the same way. We had to, in those days, you know, kids were different than they are now. If you were smarted off, the other kids would take care of you and beat you up. Now they don't care. They say anything and do anything to the teachers or anybody else. But they didn't then.
Well, do you think they beat you up because you were smart or because you were Jewish?
A little of each, yes.
Mm-hmm. How'd they know you were Jewish?
Well,
they
knew.
Did they tell by your name?
They knew.
Well, I wonder. How about...
Then when I went to high school here, for instance, I went to high school in 1910. Well, there were only about... maybe less than 10 of the whole school were Jewish, and they knew, even they knew she was Jewish, but she never looked Jewish because she was blonde and looked like a Finlander, but they knew.
Uh-huh. And did you meet your wife in high school, or you knew her from the Jewish community?
She lived across the street from me. I took her out when she was 10 years old.
That's an early romance.
We married this coming July will be 55 years.
Oh, that's wonderful.
How would you like to live with the wrong woman 55 years?
I'm sure she's not the wrong woman. Did you have a big wedding here?
Yes.
Was it hard for Jewish... what I want to say is... Did a lot of the Jewish boys and girls your own age marry within the community?
Yes, we had a lot of parties, and we'd get the down in Carpenter School down there. When we first came, the school was only a block from our house, and we had a lot of parties there and dances. And we played on a basketball team, had a Jewish basketball team. We called it the YMHA, Young Men's Hebrew Association. And we played a whole year all amongst all these non-Jewish teams, and we never lost a game during the whole year.
Wow, what year was that, do you remember?
That was in about 1912 and 13.
Wow, that's right. You called the YM?
YMHA.
Uh-huh.
And the team was my brother, Nat, Joe Wiener, Phil Holzberg, and Isidore Karen, and Henry Kaner.
Did you associate at all with the Gentile community?
Sure. I've been working for Gentiles all the time.
But how about many years ago when you were in school? Did you have Gentile friends, or was it restricted?
I had Gentile friends, but not as much as later on.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if there was ever a mikveh here?
Sure.
Yes, there was a mikveh here.
Where was the mikveh?
On the Weinsteins. It was in the basement of their place where they, I don't know if they butchered the cattle there or not, but I know I went with my mother.
Uh-huh.
And I'd sit and kind of wash out the cow. We shouldn't walk in there or something.
How about, you had a mikveh.
Yeah.
And were you involved in the cemetery association, or was your father involved? When did your father die, did you say?
In 1914.
Uh-huh. Was he involved in the Jewish community here in any special way?
Well, no. He belonged to the Hebrew, to the Spirit Synagogue, that's all. And he was pretty well educated in Jewish. Naturally, they studied in the old country. And he
what
was,
country was he from?
Well, he was from... I think it was that corner there where Lithuania and Germany and Poland together there,
mm-hmm.
and that triangle there.
Was your mother happy in Superior?
Oh yeah, she was happy here. She married again.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm.
Who did she marry?
Married, what's his name?
Mike Norwich.
Then he died, and later she died.
Mm-hmm. Did your mother mind coming to a strange place like Superior?
Well, she had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
She had no choice.
Was she born in this country, or?
No, my mother and father were from the old country. They married there, and then came over. Right after they were married, all their children were born in New York except for this one, Arnold, who was born in Superior.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I told you about that. Was mm-hmm. dean of the School of Business. He's PhD.
Mm-hmm. Quite a very good family.
My brother, Nat, the one that died in California, he was a PhD too. And he was a coach too, and he coached some champion basketball teams in Nevada and Iowa.
And he was on that basketball team with you?
Yes.
Uh-huh, so you had basketball. Were there any other clubs that the Jewish people belonged to?
Well, they had a YMHA club too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
A YMHA club, did you have a building where you met?
At the school, at the Carpenter School.
You were telling me something when we paused about Rabbi Tremblat, did you say?
Well, when I went to high school, I used to go over to Duluth and get orders for meat that the rabbi's wife, Mrs. Tremblat, phoned them in, and I'd go over and get them from Shares, and then I'd come back on the streetcar and deliver them on my bike or sled if it's... if I couldn't use the bike, to all these people all around town here.
What had happened to the butchers, the kosher butchers in Superior?
Well, they quit or died or something, I don't know.
This was quite early.
And then an awful lot of people, it's only a few fanatics that keep kosher now, you see. Mm-hmm. All the others, very few. I imagine you could count the families that keep kosher in Superior on the fingers of one hand.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Now, after you got married, did a Jewish neighborhood develop? Was there still some sort of Jewish neighborhood in Superior? Or could you tell me what streets the old neighborhood was located on exactly?
Well, the old neighborhood, right in this, was the old neighborhood, like next door was Vogel, then beyond that was Ansel, and across the street was Averbuch, two Averbuchs, and then Pomish had the house there, and on the corner was the two Siegels, and we were here, this whole block practically was Jewish neighborhood, see. Mm-hmm. And down below a few blocks was
Weinstein.
Weinberg.
Yeah, Weinberg's too.
Weinberg.
No. Your wife mentioned Weinstein. What was the first name of the Weinstein? Was that Abraham?
Yeah, what was it?
Yeah, Abe, he's dead now.
Yeah.
Did he have a business?
Yeah, they had a butcher outfit.
How about a clothing business, perhaps?
Not Weinstein, no.
Yeah, I have an ad from an Abe Weinstein that lived here about 15 years before you got here. He had a clothing business here. Now, I wanted to know whether most of the Jews here were of Eastern European descent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where did the other Jews, were there Jews from any other places?
I doubt it. Most of them that came here were either from Lithuania, a few Russian Jews, and very few German Jews. There weren't any German Jews, but they were...
that would be in Duluth, the Freemans, so they were Hungarians. So.
Poland and Galiciano, there were a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any sort of Jewish publication or newspaper that came out in Yiddish? Did most
no,
of the people speak
not
Yiddish?
Here. They used to get the forewords and the Tageblatt from New York. Most of them, you know, subscribed there.
Which city did you have the best relations with in terms of the Jewish community outside of Superior?
Well, Duluth.
Uh-huh. How about Milwaukee or the Twin Cities?
Well, we keep close track with the Twin Cities because our children are there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some relatives there through which our children, one of our children intermarried there. So we know about that. See, as a matter of fact, you know, Rabbi Wolf got a job through one of our relatives there.
Stillman.
Hmm?
Stillman, through Arthur Stillman.
Arthur Stillman got him a job as a rabbi for the going to the hospitals and various places where they needed a rabbi.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other recollections about the early days of the Jewish community here, or maybe things that people have told you? I'm talking about before the First World War.
Well, all I knew at the time, they would, some of these old-timers came over, like Shalom John Evanow. He came over and he sent for all of his relatives. He came from a big family and he sent them money and they came over here. Most of them didn't even pay him back the fare. And they all settled here.
When was that?
Huh?
When was that?
Oh, this was in early 1900. hundreds. Mm-hmm. And he had a lot of, most of the people here at that time, they had a settlement down there, they called it Oklahoma. And the, you know, you mentioned about this, why there was this feeling towards the Jews, you know, they were all like Shapsa de Shratza and Shapsa de Gela and Shapsa de Langishim Nesra and Shapsa Mitten.
I think you're going to have to translate a little bit for me.
Well, Shapsa is Sam, see?
Uh-huh.
And Langishim Nesra means he used to stand up and keep davening or saying his prayer long after everybody got through sitting down. See? And then they had Sholem, you know, that's the Sholem Stepanzak, you know, he'd go along and they had all these people, you know, that...
these were all people that lived in Superior?
Sure.
These are their real names?
And then Shapsa the Kanispuntel, he lived down on the Kanis Point.
Connor's Point.
What?
They couldn't say Connor's Point. That was a location out there. And they'd say that.
See, there was that group, when they first came, lived down there on Fifth Street. Now it's all torn up, but down where the shipyard is, way down there. And at that time, on Connors Point, there was the bridge used to, they'd have to go over on Connors Point to get on the interstate bridge to go to Duluth.
Mm-hmm. So this was a separate Jewish community over there?
Yeah, well, it was part of the same thing.
On the ferry.
Huh?
Well, on the ferry.
It was part of the same thing, except that there was these uptown people and the...
You didn't like the downtown people?
Huh?
You didn't like the downtown
people? Well, they were all right.
What was the difference? Were they poor or were they...
Well, they were more... well, they were more old country. They couldn't get along. You see, nowadays you send your kid to school and... he's no different than the Goyim. And pretty soon, they can't see any difference, and they intermarry, and there is no difference. But in those days, there was a difference, because these people dressed differently and talked differently and acted differently Just like the old Westerners would say, the only good Indian is a dead Indian, and they figured the only Jew was somebody that was dirty and had long hair and wore old clothes. That was before the style was for everybody to wear old clothes now.
So these people, when you got to Superior, were living at Cottage Point?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them.
Uh-huh.
And Oklahoma, they called it, down
Oklahoma.
On Fifth Street.
About how many Jews lived there? Were they from a specific country, or was there a certain business that these people were in that was different from the uptown Jews?
Well, they were in the junk business, and they were... No, there wasn't any different. The uptown people had stores, like Sassner had a clothing store, and Siegel's had a clothing store, and Lasky's had a clothing store, and the rest of them, and these others... were mostly
Weingarten
peddlers.
Used to be a family here too.
Weingarten, they had another store. But the rest were just peddlers.
Mm-hmm. Did they go to a different synagogue?
Yes, they went down to that synagogue over there.
Do you remember the name of it?
Yeah, Superior Brotherhood. We gave you that name.
That was the other one. And you went to which one?
The Superior Hebrew Congregation.
Oh, so there was the Brotherhood and the Superior Hebrew Congregation, mm-hmm. I see. And you don't recall anything about any other synagogues that were at one time here?
No, there never was any, as far as my knowledge is concerned.
Do you remember that synagogue, the Hebrew Brotherhood, having a school?
Yes. They had a school for the children, sure.
Was it a day school or was it an afternoon school?
It was a school after the regular school.
She means a cheder.
Mm-hmm. Was there a cheder?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
They each had that. They had a building in back of the Hebrew congregation where they taught the kids, and so did they in our shul.
Oh,
they had a building.
You had a school also?
They had a school also in the back of our building.
But you didn't go to school there?
No.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm so ignorant.
All right, I think, let's just see if we have anything else.
But you see, when these people came here and they were real, what you call real greenhorns, you know, and mm-hmm. you could tell them a mile off, and these kids would throw snowballs at them or rocks or anything, and we Jewish kids would defend them, and the first thing you knew, we had a battle on our hands with these, but you couldn't blame these other kids for they had a horse and a wagon and they'd go pick up junk. And
do you remember any of the names of the families that lived in that area? In the ones that...
Sure, they were all Kaners and Karens and Katasovitz
and
and Pomish and...
They all intermarried when they cousins married cousins and mm-hmm. the Kaner family.
Mm-hmm. The most common name here was Kaner.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that is Karen. And then comes Cohn.
Do you know why those families came here?
Hmm?
Do you know why some of those families, so many of them, came to Superior?
I told you, because their first one that came here was Shalom John Evner, Shalom Kaner, and he sent money to all these others to come here.
Oh, I see. And how about before him? Did you hear any stories about earlier Jews that were here before these people, like in the 1800s?
I don't know when they came over here, but they were here. Well, just throughout the end of the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to tell me about the Jewish community long ago? How the cemetery got started, perhaps?
Well, cemetery is, Teich is in charge of the cemetery now, but, you know, they bought some lots out in South Superior, and the more people in the cemetery there is in the city. Very well populated.
Were Jews permitted to be members of any of the Gentile organizations in the early days?
No.
No. There was a separation.
Not here, not in Duluth either.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a lot of contact with the Duluth community, the Jewish community, in the early days?
Well, no, not too much, till after I got to be Secretary and Treasurer of the Transit Company. Then I had some contact with them. But I didn't belong to any of their organizations.
Mm-hmm. How about in the, such as when you were in high school, was there any Zionist activity here?
No, not to speak of. They, at that time, they had some of these organizations. What was that, Aronson and...
Oh, the Kadivim. Well, that was just a small...
Yeah, then they had a club there that was kind of semi,
it was more like for
socialistic, and they leaned on the side of the communistic too.
Well, what was that called? That was a Jewish organization?
What
yes.
was that name?
Oh, wait a minute, I'll think of it. The Kedivrim.
No.
No.
We were invited a couple of times.
I know, we went. Yeah, that's what they were, the Kadiver group. Well, it was men and women. It was a sort of.
And they were, they leaned towards the communistic side, and I wouldn't go to another meeting anymore after that.
When was that? How old were you then?
Oh, that was way back in the 20s.
Mm-hmm. Nothing before that when you were in high school?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is there anything else you recall? You want to tell me about the Jewish community long ago?
No, there wasn't much. The people decided to have a conservative temple, and we hired Rabbi Gold, and we wanted to join with the others, but they developed a battle there, and they kind of used our funds to repair their shul, and it broke up. But during that time, we obtained a lot of the members that used to belong to that old old Orthodox temple, like the Lurie's and the Witkins, and a lot of them stayed with our shul. They were originally from there. Matter of fact, old man Witkin, you know, still goes there. Mm-hmm. And so we built this place up. But when we first started, we had more than twice as many families we have now, but they keep moving away and dying out, and so it's getting down where we only have, I don't know, about 60 families, something like that, maybe less than that.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have to end now, but I want to thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.